Well, time the AI was for that time, health is now. That's the kind of importance I think I give today as far as if you want to improve things, it's very likely that if you improve health, the indirect effect on reproduction will be substantial. There's nothing that we see in our literature today that impacts fertility as much as health.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Steel, ventilation, cow cooling, cow-centric design, engineered in Canada by InBarn Solutions. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
All right. Hello, this is Craig McConnell. I am in VetMed Extension at Washington State University, and welcome to this edition of the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast by Wisenetics. Today, we're welcoming Dr. Ronald Sarri. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly, who is a professor within the Applied Biology Program at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada. Dr. Sarri's research aims to discover and develop solutions to fertility issues that affect dairy and beef cattle. His lab focuses on sustainable technologies such as automated methods to improve reproduction efficiency in cattle, as well as focusing on the effects of inflammation and health disorders on the cross-communication between the uterus and embryo. So welcome. Thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you, Craig. Thank you for inviting me.
The topic today is going to be dairy cattle reproduction and health, which given your introduction, it has a broad spectrum. So we'll see if we can sort of narrow this down. And so the first question I'm going to ask you is, from your experience, what are the most overlooked reproductive health challenges in modern dairy herds, and how do they quietly impact long-term productivity and profitability?
That's a very broad question.
It is.
At the same time, I think you're correct. You know, the word that you used in the question, such as, you know, that is overlooked. I was even talking to Luciano the other day about, you know, a bunch of stuff that we even tried to do stuff together on the health reproduction side. For a long time, reproduction, and we don't have the problem of reproduction that we used to have 15, 20 years ago. I think this is a very well established thing. But now, and for a long time, and I was from that period, Craig, when we developed and did crazy stuff with protocols. We tried everything possible that you can ever imagine, you know, injections, you know, new hormones, and all that. But then I remember very well at that time, and I'll try to keep my eye on the time here, but we ignored certain things because we were so concerned about how the protocol worked. And I remember really well, Craig, we removed cows that were sick from the analysis.
Yeah.
Because right. We wanted to know if the protocol worked. Yeah. But it was a protocol thing. It was not a program thing. And eventually, I said the other day in one of my talks, I said, at that time, time at AI was, and it was a big thing, you know, and it still is. And is one of those technologies that is like amazing. But what time at AI was for that time, health is now. That's the kind of importance I think I give today as far as if you want to improve things, it's very likely that if you improve health, the indirect effect on reproduction will be substantial. There's nothing that we see in our literature today that impacts fertility as much as health. As far as, you know, which one is overlooked the most, my sense, and I think it's very varied, you know, not only within the United States and Canada, but also around the world. You see places where they do, again, moving away from protocols and specifics of a reproduction protocol or program is about data analysis and trying to figure out what is exactly impacting reproduction. So I think today in many places, let's take, for example, Dairy Comp. Dairy Comp, if you place or not health data, the program still works. Because it is very based on everything to work there, you know, the calving, the breeding, the stuff. The repro stuff is the thing that makes it move forward, you know, the program move forward. If you put health or not, if you put mastitis there or not, if you analyze somatic cell count or not, is not. So there are places and places. The ones that tend to look at those things really well, they are very good at pinpointing where the problem is.
Yeah.
So the overlooked thing to me is that people start going to theories when things go wrong. And sometimes you find it. I have found surprising things when you analyze data in health and reproduction. Really, really.
Most companies know AI can help, but the hard part is getting it deployed inside the business. Elevate Agents builds and launches custom AI agents that handle repetitive workflows, reduce manual overhead, and help teams move faster without adding headcount. From identifying the right use cases to deploying agents that actually work in your operations, Elevate turns AI from an idea into execution. Build smarter systems with Elevate Agents. Visit elevateagents.ai.
So I think that leads perfectly into the next question. Given that nutrition and metabolic health, the whole transition cow management aspect interact with reproductive performance, where do you see farms most often breaking that chain? Where is the issue or the issues that pop up as you're looking into those data sets?
I think the issue that used to be, I think, you know, a lot of, if you look at a lot of the research, even from Luciano Cacchetto, from McCart, and the people that have done quite a few things on the metabolic side of it, I shouldn't say that is we're breaking through, but I think we're moving back. It's been a while already now, but I think now it's established. Cows are producing a lot of milk. And I think now, well, not that they have not before, but now we are reaching the point where you have farms with average energy corrected milk of 50. You start to go into, imagine if you say this like 15 years ago, you go like, you're crazy, but we're moving there. And what we before considered hyperketonemia as a very bad thing, and let's intervene and let's give, I don't know, calcium propionate, propylene glycol, and you start to do something. I think today we got to a point where like, we need to cows, let it be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Let them go and not go into the, I think the perhaps one of the things that everybody's kind of scrutinizing more is the subclinical thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think the subclinical part of it is it ideal? No, we just did one project here with robotic farms. And yes, you have all those, you know, multi-paras cows, especially, you know, their peak production is 55, 60. Whatever, those cows, they have high BHB.
Yep.
They right. have low glucose and they just do fine.
Yeah, right.
They just go. So I think part of the stuff that is happening now is, I think those definitions have already changed, and I think we're going to establish, it's going to be more established.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think as you start speaking about subclinical and we look at the larger spectrum of what historically was considered a problem versus our, you know, what we're now understanding as maybe is normal in often cases, I think the definitions, the case definitions, how we describe these things probably becomes the next step, right?
I agree. I think that's a good message, you know.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that leads into the next question. Maybe instead of worrying about breaking the chain so much or looking into the past, my question would be, looking ahead, what changes in reproductive management or health monitoring do you believe will have the biggest impact on fertility outcomes in dairy cattle over the next 5 to 10 years? And I suppose I'm asking that with sort of a precision dairy in the background, but specifically, are there things that you're focused on?
I think part of the stuff, and there are several lines of thought out there, you know, how to performance-wise, Craig, I don't know how much better we'll get compared to someone that does a blanket double off-sync for first AI plus very, very aggressive resynchronizations and da da da. But I think there's a few points there that, you know, I have these questions a lot and saying, oh, what do you think is the ideal pregnancy rate for right. farm, and or where should you aim for in terms? And I think what is happening, especially for even for a lot of the reprophysiologists, I could see a lot of us that did a lot of that type of work before now moving to a broader scientific,
more holistic
focus. Because in my case, for example, I think the precision side, the health side, I think that's where it is. Mm-hmm. That's yep. where the level will be. You're going to, in order to have good fertility, you have to be a good farm.
Yep.
This is not new, yep. but I think it's a question of how the message is passed on.
Yeah.
But the other part is, like, you have dairies and dairies. You have dairies with a very high culling rate, and you have lots of preemie pairs cows in your farm, and you're expanding and you do this, and preemie pairs cows, they are fertile, they do well, you don't need crazy stuff, you know, to do, obviously, if you have a nice farm and blah, blah, blah. But then is where I think my final point there arrives, which is depends on what kind of profile of dairy you have. You should aim for different numbers. For example, if you have in Canada, this is perhaps a bit more common. You have very cows, like our UBC dairy, traditionally we had very like an older herd.
Yep.
So they produce a lot of milk. They yep. do well, but perhaps their number is not going to be on the 35 preg rate.
Right.
But they are in the 28, 29, and they are pretty good. You're right. pretty good. So, but you're analyzing things a little different. And the yeah. second part, perhaps, and this is something that I think this is a broader issue, which is where the precision dairy will go. So one is to look a little broader into how you analyze the farm. The other part is, I think the precision dairy will come as a complement of what is done. I think this stuff will grow. But I think parts of that will grow is like, and I shouldn't, I do not say, and I try to emphasize that, Craig, I don't say this in, you know, against timed AI protocols and so on, but I think there is going to be a push to use less to do the same.
Your ag business didn't stall on the market. It stalled because everything roots through you. Pricing, hiring, the angry account. You're not leading the company, you're refereeing it. The Owner's Box is a peer group of 8 to 10 agribusiness owners with one agenda. Get you out of daily operations and into the owner's seat. Monthly working sessions, real decisions, real commitments. Built by Wisenetics, the number one podcast network in animal protein. Apply for cohort 1 at the Owner's Box. Seats close when the room is full.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what I'm hearing, and I always try to summarize these conversations up for how I would present it to our vet students, is that not only are we talking about maybe more nuanced case definitions for the health issues, but we're really talking about more of a case definition per farm. We're not just technicians anymore doing rote protocols, but we're people who really should consider the animal, the farm holistically to, you know, make appropriate adaptations and changes that precision dairying helps define. Am
yes,
I hearing that
I
right?
I think it does. I think it helps with also this other part of, you know, maybe trying to improve certain things that we do without. I think another part that is going to change is about interventions. Mm-hmm. I think we should do more with less interventions, with less movement, less stuff. I think that would be something that, you know, might be the case.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, I think we better wrap it up, but I think you just set the stage for the next podcast, something about interventions and reducing therein. But awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll get a chance to connect again later.
Oh, no, it would be a pleasure. Yes, thank you, Greg, for inviting. Yes.
Thank you.